Hello and welcome to the Bulletin with UBS on Monocle 24. Each week we'll be hearing from the sharpest minds and freshest thinkers in the world of finance, taking you beyond the numbers and the hype and getting to the heart of the big issues of the day. This week we're talking gender lens investing, a new UBS white paper exploring how wealthy investors can help to achieve the UN's gender equality goals and to empower women and girls demonstrates the benefits of a gender lens approach. We'll look at what it means and how and why it works in more detail with experts from UBS and from its partner Rethink Impact, the largest US-based firm investing in social impact companies with a gender lens. And in the week of International Women's Day and Women's History Month in the US, we'll also hear from a pioneering woman leading a pioneering company in the Rethink Impact Fund. We start with John Amore, Head of Wealth Management Advice in UBS Wealth Management Americas. We put it to John that this is an exciting space with funds seeking to help solve some of the world's most challenging issues. Why is this area gaining momentum and popularity?
Society has just changing attitudes and awareness around the people and planet issues that are confronting societies. And at the same time, addressing some of those issues with public funds or charity alone is not going to be sufficient. And so the need for the private sector, for capitalism and the capital markets to be part of the solution is something that more and more people are realizing and mobilizing capital to address those issues.
What about funds with a gender lens overlay specifically? Why is this of particular interest?
Gender lens investing is based on this idea that diverse management teams or diverse boards measured by gender diversity are likely to outperform those firms that are more homogeneous in their makeup. And while there's an increasing amount of research supporting this, the application of it is still, we're still in early stages. And there hasn't been as many investment management teams that have incorporated this into their investment process. So, for example, the Peterson Institute has done some research, and companies that have no female leaders to firms with 30% female leaders have a delta of 15% in revenue. And in 2011, Catalyst did a study that found U.S. companies with three or more women on their boards deliver a higher return on sales. And so there's a lot of evidence out there that supports gender diverse teams will outperform those that are homogeneous. But now we're starting to see the rise of investment strategies that investors can actually invest in to capture this alpha in companies that have this diversity.
What does that gender lens overlay mean, and why does it matter, according to Jenny Abramson? She's the founder and managing partner of Rethink Impact, partner on this, and the largest US-based firm investing in social impact companies with a gender lens.
For us, gender was an important piece of the fund. So we not only invest in businesses that are great businesses, first and foremost, secondly, have a social impact around four key sectors, healthcare, education, sustainability, and economic empowerment. But third, we look for businesses that have women in leadership or gender diverse teams. And right now, only 3% of venture capital dollars are going to female entrepreneurs, which is quite striking given the fact that when companies have women in leadership or they go from 0 to 30%, females in leadership, they see a 15% increase in net revenue. And that's just one of many statistics we can talk about later around the impact of having women in the space. So right now, there has been a number of funds or angel investor groups that provide seed capital to female-led companies, but there really hasn't been much in the way of venture capitalists providing A and B rounds. Just 10% of venture dollars globally funded startups with at least one female leader, and that was between 2010 and 2015. So for us at Rethink Impact, we really focus on really the capital that helps businesses scale where women or gender diverse teams might not get as much traditional capital. It's a great business opportunity, and I think the space is hopefully realizing that as well.
Further, we asked Jenny to talk to us about investing in companies with a female leader, to share some of the business rationale behind that, as well as trying to explain why, given the numbers which support the idea that companies do better with female leadership, nevertheless, adoption of these practices is not more widespread.
On the gender side, you're right, right? So 3% of venture capital dollars today going to female-led businesses versus only 2.5% 20 years ago. So only a 0.5% increase despite these incredible numbers. And, you know, it would take many, many years to catch up at that rate. So on the one hand, in terms of the why, some would say that part of it relates to who sits in roles like mine. So less than 6%, so 5.7% of partners making investment decisions in venture capital funds like me, like my partner Heidi Patel on the West Coast, are women. And to some extent, venture is a pattern recognition business. And so when you are looking for investments, you often look for things that might remind you of your own success. And so I don't think it's always a conscious bias, but I think that there is some unconscious bias in the space that comes from the fact that there are so few women in investing roles. So I think some of it relates to that. The good news is this is also changing, right? And a fund like ours that will, you know, we've reached our target. We're north of $110 million. We were shooting for $100 million. That has a gender lens. That just shows that there is money moving into the space. And hopefully 10 years from now, the numbers will be very different in terms of capital going to gender diverse teams.
We asked John Amore to talk to us about investing in companies with a female leader, to give us some detail about the business rationale behind that, as well as any other factors. As he explains, it's not just about returns. There's a bigger picture here.
The great thing about impact investing and why it's resonating so well with so many types of investors is this idea that of doing well and doing good, and that these are investments that have the potential to be good for the investor but also good for the world. And particularly on this gender lens topic, the idea of creating a more inclusive society, a more equitable society, by recognizing that females are as educated or better educated than males, are as capable or more capable than males, is just becoming a mainstream idea. And people who are supportive of that see these types of investments as a way of further accelerating that momentum.
John Amore talked in more detail about the Rethink Investment Fund and about the role funds in this space play. He's very clear that it's not about subsidizing any particular cause, however worthy, but rather it's about fulfilling a clear funding need with sustainable profits in mind.
When UBS decided to partner with Rethink Impact, it was for a variety of reasons, but particularly this gender lens resonated well with us because we knew this was a topic that would appeal to our clients. And this comes from the fact that women start companies as frequently as men do in the United States, if not more, but receive less than 10% of the venture capital funding out there. And so while people may want to invest in this because they're supportive of female empowerment, there's this opportunity to invest in companies that have been traditionally overlooked by venture capital firms. And so this investment strategy is not about providing a subsidy to female entrepreneurs, but rather an opportunity to find great companies with gender-diverse management teams that historically haven't gotten the attention or the funding from traditional venture capital firms.
Next, let's consider the wider UBS picture. We asked John to tell us more about the percentage of invested assets now in sustainable investments.
Increasingly, more and more clients are asking for it, and we see more demand coming from younger investors, particularly millennials, female investors as well, and those types of clients who are already active and strategic about their philanthropy. With the innovation of impact investing, active philanthropists now have the option or the opportunity to address their social issues or environmental issues with their charitable giving or with impact investments. And this idea of using capitalism to address certain issues resonates really well with a lot of clients, and we expect to see more of it. You know, I would like to think that my children, who are 4 and 5 years old, will live in a world as adults where not assessing the social and environmental impact of investments will seem like a really primitive idea. And that's the trend we expect and why we as a firm continue to look for innovative products and increase the availability of impact solutions to our clients.
A noble ambition, clearly. What about a thought on how impact investment goes from niche to mainstream? How long until it just is the way of things?
It will take time, but I believe this idea of assessing the social and environmental impacts will become a mainstream part of investment process as we continue to see data that confirms that responsible companies will outperform those who don't, and all the challenges that are out there are opportunities for people to convert to some type of commercial return. And so I do believe that sustainable investing, impact investing will continue to be mainstream, whether it's in 20 years or in 50 years, it's hard to say. But what allows impact investing to gain momentum is just the availability of data. And that's why this business was hard to do 30 years ago and why now we're seeing such an interest in it, because the ability to assess impact, the ability to see all the data points that a company has around its impact on society and the environment are just increasing, and I expect that trend for sure to increase, which gives investors more opportunity to incorporate environmental social concerns into their investment process.
John Amore. Still to come on The Bulletin with UBS, we'll hear from the woman who's co-founder and CEO of one of the companies in the Rethink Impact Fund. Ellie Kaplan is the co-founder and CEO of NeuroTrack, one of the companies in the Rethink Impact Fund. NeuroTrack is a digital diagnostic and preventive therapy tool for Alzheimer's patients, identifying cognitive decline at least 3 years earlier than current diagnostics. We caught up with Ellie earlier in the week on International Women's Day, appropriately enough. Here she tells us more about NeuroTrack's work and its mission.
NeuroTrack has developed a digital cognitive assessment that can track people's memory health over time and help them understand whether they're at risk for cognitive decline and diseases like Alzheimer's disease. And then we have also built, to accompany that, a preventive digital therapeutic to help people prevent cognitive decline. And between the two products, the digital assessment and the digital therapeutic, really giving people the technology, the tools, the content for the first time ever to be able to prevent cognitive decline.
And to Ellie again, to describe the opportunities that being part of the Rethink Impact Fund affords.
It's wonderful that we're talking today on International Women's Day because it just highlights the importance of funds like Rethink Impact, who, you know, are obviously out looking for the very best deals that they can find, just like any other venture capital fund, but who take a particularly hard look at those that are run by women. And I think historically, you know, there's no question, the facts are there, that women-led startups are less likely to receive funding than male-led startups. And yet, you know, they're doing incredibly important work. So traditional VCs are missing 50% of all opportunities because they don't go out with the same kind of gender lens that Rethink Impact has. And, you know, I think that what Rethink has landed on and is, you know, so good at is really identifying these massive opportunities that are run by women. In our case, it's especially exciting because Alzheimer's disease is a disease that affects more women than men. And so the combination of, we're focused on the disease broadly, but, you know, there's clearly this acute issue with women. And so having a fund and supporters, investors who recognize the unique role that women can play in bringing these really disruptive and important technologies to market and continuing to invest in them.
As we heard from Jenny Abramson earlier, the data in support of greater female business leadership is there, yet despite that, these problems endure. Are we still a generation away, in Ellie Kaplan's view?
The data is there, and I think, you know, it does make it very frustrating. And I think you're also absolutely right about the fact that we're a generation away. And in fact, I was thinking about that very thing this morning, which is that, you know, obviously, women have come a very long way in terms of reaching equality in certain settings. We still have a very long way to go when it comes to equal pay and, you know, all kinds of issues that still women around the world, particularly in developing countries, face. But I also think in many ways, my generation of female CEOs of startups, perhaps with a few from the generation ahead of me, are pioneering this field because subconscious bias still exists. And so I think that, you know, very sadly, we are still a few generations away from it being an obvious and automatic thing. And, you know, the thing that I was pondering this morning, and it's so timely that you make that point, is, you know, whether it would will be easier for my daughter, or whether we really have to wait until her daughter decides that she wants to start something.
Finally on the program, let's hear from the panel with an eye cast firmly toward the future. John Amore explains why there's still more interest than there are credible solutions in this space.
I would just add that there is a lot more interest in impact investing than there is credible product or credible solutions, and that's because it's hard to do. Impact investing takes more rigor and diligence than traditional investing from everyone in the investment value chain, whether it's the provider of capital, so a lot of our clients, intermediary investors like Rethink or other impact investment firms, and then the actual firm receiving the investment. There needs to be some alignment of investment and impact goals and philosophies across these stakeholders, which makes it hard. And one of the reasons why we chose Rethink Impact is because we felt they had the capabilities and the authenticity to align that these expectations and philosophies across all the stakeholders in this process.
More from Jenny Abramson next on the partnership with UBS. She touches upon the achievements made so far, both in terms of gender balance, but also, interestingly, on geographic diversity.
Partnering with UBS as part of our fundraise for this has been exciting because beyond the gender diversity piece, we are also seeing a lot of geographic diversity. And most traditional investing in the U.S. in funds comes from the coasts, namely New York and California. And so one of the things that we've done is we actually have investors from the majority of states in the U.S. as part of Rethink Impact. And so between the gender balance of our investor base and the geographic balance, I think we're helping to take both gender lens investing and impact investing to a much broader segment and helping to mainstream those. And our hope is that we can be a demonstration effect for this space to grow more broadly.
A last word, well, says Ellie, bravo, Jenny.
The only thing that I would say is bravo, Jenny, and your team. I'm just so thrilled about what they are doing. It's really exciting about the potential that is there to really change the way that women-backed companies are funded and scaled, and I'm thrilled to be part of it.
And that's Ellie Kaplan bringing us to the end of this 127th edition of The Bulletin with UBS, setting the agenda in the fast-moving world of finance each week here on Monocle 24. Listen again and find out more at monocle.com or catch up via iTunes or your preferred podcast platform. The Bulletin with UBS on Monocle 24.